very small hands, just clap for the Lord. Praise the Lord. With me, I request we stand up as we welcome a servant of the Lord to come and give us this morning's food. This time round, we are having our pastor, Godfrey Prince, coming in to feed us this morning. We are delighted to have you, and I'm very happy to be welcoming you here. God bless. Can somebody take this photograph? You don't know what it means to me to welcome him here. Take this photograph. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Media team, we have a meeting after service. Well, I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to minister to us. It is very difficult to minister when your professor is looking at you. But I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity. Choir, thank you very much. Yeah. Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you for today. We want to thank you for the opportunity you have given us to listen to your word. And Father, we pray that your word will have impact in our lives, that there shall be transformation, and that we shall give testimonies. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. You may take up your seats, please. Yes, greetings from our pastor. He's not with us, but he's with us. Amen. And last Sunday, he was taking us through a series, the faith series. And and he took us through the definition of faith. Hallelujah. And he read to us Hebrews chapter 11, and he defined for us what faith is. And I just wanted to pick up from where he left. Hallelujah. And today I wanted to talk about faith, the believer's identity. Faith, the believer's identity. So, in the book of Romans, chapter 1, and from verse 17, Romans chapter 1, from verse 17, the Bible says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Now, the children of Israel in the desert were having an identity crisis. They had been in slavery for over 400 years. And so they call their leader Moses and sit him down and ask him, Where did we come from? And Moses begins telling them a story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he made the stars, the moon, the sun, the what? And then he said, "Let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness." And God created man in his own image. Then they ask him, "Okay, but why are we suffering? Why is there suffering in the world?" And he tells them in Genesis chapter 3 that the reason why there is suffering in the world is because of sin and disobedience. Then they ask him, "Okay, how did we end up in slavery?" Then he begins telling them the story of Abraham. How the Lord led Abraham to leave his land. And he went into a land that the Lord had already prepared for him. Then he tells them the story of Isaac. He tells them the story of Jacob and how there was a famine. And he tells them the story of how Joseph saved Egypt and all the children of Israel. He is answering one question. Why are we here? And so when you're reading the book of Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, Moses is just in the desert seated, answering the children of Israel and telling them, this is how we got here. But why is he telling them that those stories? It's because he wants to show them the original identity they had through God. So he's telling them that when God created us, our identity was the identity of God because we were created in his image. Now, the image of God is not what usually we think it is. That, you know, God created us in his own image, two eyes, one nose, two ears. That is not the image the Bible is talking about, because God does not have two eyes, two ears, you know. Praise the Lord. So what image are they talking about in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26? This is the image, the identity, the likeness of God. Because God says, let us make man in our own likeness. Okay? So when sin and disobedience enters into the world, sin replaces that image. Sin distorts the image and the likeness of God in man. In Genesis chapter 6, the Bible tells us, chapter 6 verse 5, the Bible tells us that the thoughts of men were continuously evil. There is nothing good man thought. That means the original identity they had been covered and seared by disobedience. So man's identity was that of God, but after the fall, sin became the way of life. So from then on, man's battle in the world was against sin, but this actual battle was an identity battle. Man was having an identity crisis. So when God chooses the children of Israel and tells them, through you, the seed of the woman is going to come, and that is Jesus Christ, God was bringing them and putting his identity on them. They were recognized as the nation of God. Okay? I want you to follow me, because there is where we are going. So whenever the children of Israel forgot their identity, they would always go back to sin. Because now the identity of sin had covered up the identity or the image or the likeness of God that they were given in the beginning. So whenever they would sin, God would punish them. They would come back to him and cry, and he would forgive their sin. So it was, the problem was an identity problem, because they tried to copy what the heathen nations were doing, and that was not their identity. When they saw that the other nations had a king, they cried for a king. And God told them, I'm giving you a king, but it is you who has asked. Whatever he does to you, it's upon you. Why? Because their identity was God. They were a theocratic nation ruled by God himself. Okay? So the kings they got later on began copying the identities of other nations. For example, the constructing of the altars of Baal. That was not the identity of the children of Israel. So, even today, the greatest battle that believers have is a battle of identity. Even Jesus Christ himself says, I was hated in this world, you're going to be hated. So, that means every believer has to know their identity and stand strong and stand out. Okay? So, last Sunday we defined what faith was, and we said faith, number one, and actually if you read Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, the definition of faith is in two parts. The first part tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Okay? That means, and this is usually what we believers regard to as faith, it means if I want God to do something, I will have the faith that he's going to do it. Okay? Now, this is hope. Hope means things in the future. So, my faith is the substance or the tangible evidence of the things that I know God said he's going to do and he's going to do them. This is what we call hope for the future. But the second part of that verse tells us that it's the evidence of things that are not seen. What does that mean? It means there are things God has already done that you cannot see, but the evidence of those things is your faith. Okay? This means faith is not just the confidence that God will do it, but also the assurance that he already did what he said he has done. Let me ask you a question. When the Bible says that the Bible says salvation is by faith, right? So what is the confidence that you are saved? You cannot see salvation. You cannot touch salvation. What is the confidence you have for you to stand and say, I am saved? Okay? When the Bible says that I am justified through faith, what is the evidence that I am actually justified? That is faith. It is the evidence or the tangible thing of things that are not seen. Salvation is not seen. But the reason why I am sure that I am saved, I am sanctified, I am justified, I am going to heaven, my evidence for that is the faith that I have. Praise the Lord. And so, yes, faith is things God is going to do, but it's also the things he has already done. A bird that is sitting on the branch of the tree is not sitting there comfortably because it trusts the branch, but it's because it trusts in the power of its wings. Praise the Lord. And now, we as believers, our faith is the evidence of those things that God said he has already done. When your sin is forgiven, what is the assurance that it's completely forgiven? You know, things of faith are a bit funny, and that is why religion does not understand faith. How do you tell me that I killed someone yesterday, and I come and say, God, I am sorry, and he has forgiven me? How do you tell me that? And he has forgiven you. So what is your assurance or the evidence that he has actually forgiven you? I'm not saying you go and do it, okay? And we are going to see later on why. So, I have the confidence to say that my sin is wiped clean, not because of anything I have done. And now religion tells you you have to go and pray this particular prayer 20 times, then you come and fast for a certain number of days before God forgives you. Okay? Now, that is not faith. Bible is telling us that salvation is a free gift of grace through faith. That means you only need two things for you to be born again. The first and most and very important thing is to believe in your heart. That is the only thing that you're going to do to be saved. To believe in your heart, and then for the evidence is you confess with your mouth and you're born again. That is salvation. Now, the salvation that we have grown to know is the one of doing. There is something you have to do for you to get saved. You know, you have to maybe go to the mountain for a certain number of days. Going to the mountain is good. Okay? But now those are Christian practices, or they are good Christian practices that keep you healthy. But they are not the foundation of your salvation. Faith is. When you stand and say, I believe God forgave my sin, the assurance I have that he has actually forgiven my sin is my faith. Praise the Lord. So that is why the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. The Bible does not say the just shall visit faith. When things are hard, it's when I bring out okukiriza. We are now going to believe God. No, faith is supposed to be an operating system. Something that you, for example, what do you do for you to become a Ugandan? You are just a Ugandan, right? So that is what faith is supposed to be for every believer. Once you are a believer, the Bible says that the righteous shall live by. Your life alone should be a clear evidence of faith. Praise the Lord. And so, why is faith important for every believer? Why is faith important for every believer? Number one, like we have already discussed, that salvation is by grace through faith. So once you are a believer, you have to understand that your salvation is by grace through faith. Now, grace means you did not deserve it, you did not merit it, and there is nothing you could do for you to earn it. So how do you receive this free gift? Through faith. Like I said, many of us, at a certain time, point in time, you stood and you said, Lord, today I confess my sins, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, and rub my name from the book of death and write it in the book of life. And then the preacher told you, from today, you are saved. There is nothing you could ever do to save yourself. Okay? But through the faith, through your confession of faith, you receive the free gift of salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 1 to verse 10. This is what the Bible says. That, and you were dead in the trespass and sin, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Remember the disobedience we talked about in Genesis chapter 6? And then the consequences, disobediences that took place in the Bible, where the children of God would come back to him, disobey, and they are punished again. That is the identity crisis that we are talking about. So the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, for you have been saved. You know, the Bible says that we were dead in our trespasses. I want us to, you know, I use a lot of imagination. I want you to imagine you've gone to a burial and the dead man is sitting there. What can that dead man do for himself? They even have to employ strong men to dig for him his own grave where he's going to rest. Even after they have dug for him the grave, someone has to carry him and put him in that grave. So when the Bible says that we were dead in our sin, I want you to imagine a dead person. What can they do for themselves? So the Bible says that even when we were dead in our sins, God saved us. That means it's a free gift. There is nothing you could do to earn it. So how do you receive it? Through faith. Now, that is what I call the evidence of things unseen. You cannot see forgiveness. You cannot see salvation. You cannot see justification. But the only reason why I can stand and say, yes, I am truly justified, I am forgiven, I am saved, the evidence for that is my faith. Praise the Lord. Verse 6 says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are the workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So the Bible is telling us that for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. That is how powerful faith is in the life of a believer. And that's why it is very hard for people to understand this thing of faith. How do you tell me that I just believe in my heart and I am justified before God? Everything that I did, God has forgiven me. How do you tell me that? Praise the Lord. And that is the power of faith. There is nothing anyone could do to save himself. No amount of prayer, fasting, and sacrifice can save you. These are things that help you grow spiritually, not the things that actually save you. Praise the Lord. Number two, our justification is by faith. We are talking of why faith is important in the life of a believer. Now, justification means the right standing with God. Praise the Lord. So when God looks at me, he does not see me according to the things I have done, but he sees me according to the things Christ already did. Now, that is what we call justification. Do you know why the justice system, the lawyers, the law council, the judiciary, most of them, their emblem is a weighing scale. Yeah? It's a weighing scale. That means, that is what justice is. Justice is actually when God weighs you, the weighing scale is balancing, okay? If it is not balancing, then he has weighed you and you are wanting. So what does justification do? You stand on the other side of the weighing scale, and Jesus Christ stands on the other side of the weighing scale, and the weighing scale is balancing. Praise the Lord. And then now God says, you now have the confidence to come to my throne. That is the power of faith. There is nothing you did to make Jesus Christ stand on the other side of the weighing scale, but believing in your heart. So I want you believers to know that it is through faith that you receive your justification, that you're made right with God. It is not about the things the things we boast about. Let me tell you one thing. Not all the time, but most of the times, when a preacher stands and says, I've been saved for 30 years now, usually what are they trying to mean? That I have done things. So, usually, they are trying to tell you, for you, you don't know, we have done things. So they are not boasting in the what God has done. Like I said, not all of them, some of them. Because, serving God for very many years has its own fruit. And it's a testimony. But there is a very thin line between boasting and actually giving God the glory. Praise the Lord. So Romans chapter 5 from verse 1 to 2 says, therefore, since we have been justified, chapter 5, 1 to 2, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Our boast is in the hope of the glory of God and not the things we have done. Praise the Lord. That is the power of faith in the life of a believer. Number three, by faith, we are children of God and we share in the blessings of Abraham. Now, many of us claim the promises that are in the Bible. God, you said. But now I want you to understand, what right do you have to stand and claim those promises that were given to Abraham? Praise the Lord. Let me ask, do we have any Israelites in here? By show of hands, do we have any Israelites in here? What makes you think that you are children of Abraham? If we go today and test your blood DNA, will they find any trace of the blood of Abraham in you? Praise the Lord. The only trace of DNA that we have is faith. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 3 from verse 7 says, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Now, we are the Gentiles they are talking about. Scripture foresaw that God would justify us, the Gentiles, by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So, the only thing that gives you the right to stand and say, I am blessed beyond measure, I am a child of God, is faith. And then chapter 3, if you read verse 26 to 29, it says that so in Jesus Christ, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you believe in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Praise the Lord. The only thing that gives you the right to stand and claim the blessings of God is faith. Not because for you, you have never missed a Sunday ever since the church, the year began, which is a good thing, by the way. Yeah, because coming for prayers is a good thing. It is a believer's practice that keeps you healthy. But it's not what gives you the right to boast in the blessings. Praise the Lord. And number 4, this faith that we profess must produce good works. This is why faith is important in the life of believer. Now, I'm not contradicting myself by saying that your works could not save you. And then I'm now saying that now if you have faith, it must be evidenced by good works. The Bible says that we are, James chapter 2 from verse 14 to 17. Praise the Lord. We are saved by faith, not by works, but genuine faith produces works. Genuine faith produces works. Now, I want you to understand one thing. You are not saved because you do good things, but you do good things because you are saved. Praise the Lord. What James is trying to tell us is there is no way you can tell us you are saved if you don't have any good deeds. So, now this is where people get to misunderstand the gospel of grace. Because according to everything we have talked up there, there is nothing you do on your part to save you. God has just given you salvation for free. Now, what James is trying to tell us is that now, because we receive for free, does it mean we just live anyhow because I will just go and pray and say, God, forgive me, and he has forgiven me? That is what James is trying to say, that if truly you're born again, there is a certain kind of lifestyle that you live. Let me give you an example. May his soul rest in peace. The king who has just passed on. There is nothing he did to make himself a king. But because he was a king, there is a way he would live his life. Praise the Lord. We grow up knowing the king does not smile. Because if I translate directly from Luganda, they say you are looking the king in the mouth. You're not allowed to look the king in his mouth. So there is a way they carry themselves. So even you, when you're born again, the evidence of your faith is how you carry yourself, the things that come out of you. And so, because the Bible is telling us that faith without works is dead faith, the only evidence that your faith is actually alive is what comes out of you. So, even if you have received everything, justification, salvation, everything, you've received it for free, you didn't have to raise a muscle. After you have received it, the evidence that you have truly received this faith is what comes out of you, the works that precede it. If the works that are coming out of you do not correlate with the faith that you profess, then we question if truly you have been saved. Praise the Lord. And so, you as a believer, when you're walking, or when you're doing whatever you're doing, you do not say, no, me, I will not do this because I'm trying to keep... when we're children, they would tell us that liars go to hell. So, I am not stopping myself from lying simply because I want to go to heaven. Praise the Lord. But because I am saved, justified, and sanctified, and I'm going to heaven, that does not allow me to lie. Praise the Lord. That does not allow me to live my life somehow. Hallelujah. And so, I want to encourage us today that faith is not just a hope. It is a way of life. Let us stop limiting faith to, I want God to heal me. I believe. That is just part of the faith. But the life of a believer should be a life of faith. The way you live your life, the things you do. I don't go to hospital to visit them just because I want to be a good person. But because it is my way of life. And when you understand this element of faith and how you have received the gifts of God by just believing, you would want to share this with every other person. Praise the Lord. If you know that you were dead, you could not save yourself, you will understand that there are other dead people there who cannot save themselves, who need you to go and show them the way. Praise the Lord. So faith should be our identity. Not because I am, you know, me, I am a Pentecostal. I pray in Nakawa Pentecostal Church. That is not my identity. My identity is faith. Praise the Lord. So from now on, everything you do, does it reflect your faith? Does it reflect your identity? So when man sinned in chapter 6 of Genesis, he lost the identity, the likeness of God. He didn't lose it, but it was concealed in disobedience. So when Jesus Christ comes and dies for us on the cross, he restores that identity. Now, through faith, through believing, we have the authority, we have the power, we have the right to stand as children of God. May God bless us. Let us stand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank